Hello, and welcome to the Driveline Podcast. This is the official podcast of the South Dakota Trucking Association and the South Dakota Auto Dealers Association. My name is Trevor Johnson, and I am going to be your host for today's episode. I am joined today by Bob Willie. He owns Bob Willie Trucking, and he has been involved in the South Dakota Trucking Association for a long time. He is the chairman of our association, and he joins me today to talk all about trucking and everything that we can do to better the trucking association and the trucking industry in South Dakota going forward. So thank you, Bob, for taking some time out and joining me today. And yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Of course. So I want to give a little bit of background to our listeners about kind of where you came from and what your story is in the trucking industry. So like, where did you start? Where are you from? Who are you?
I'm from Gettysburg, South Dakota. I grew up on a farm and ranch northwest of Gettysburg, spent my entire life there. I got interested in trucks when I was in junior high, and I had an uncle that was a truck driver, and just got interested in trucks and always said I was going to be a truck driver. I went in the service in 1975, got hurt in the service, but my MO was a truck driver, and then I come home and tried to go to college, and I went to college to wrestle, and I got hurt doing that again, and doctor told me I was done. So then the rest of that year turned into just a party and come home there, and I was trying to find something to do and everything else, and started some part-time work, truck driving, went to work for the local John Deere dealership. That was the first truck driving job I ever had. I was 19 years old.
And doing it your whole life, huh?
And spent 4 years just kind of part-time here and there, wherever and whatever. And then in 1980, I went to work for the feedlot west of town, and I spent 13 years there before I bought my own truck.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of, I've spent over 40 years building a business. When I was working for the feedlot there, it was to the point where I was having to kind of run it myself to stay busy doing what I wanted to do. Otherwise, I could go to work in the feedlot too, but I didn't want to do that. And so I got to the point where I thought if I got to manage it, I might as well own it.
Absolutely.
And so I went and talked to the people that we were doing business with at the time, with me just being an employee, and they were all in favor of me starting out on my own, and that's how I've got started. So I've spent the last 44 years just building a business.
Yeah. Well, what did you start hauling, and what have you found?
Doing exactly what I'm doing now, ag products.
Oh, okay.
The part-time stuff was, some of it was ag products, but it's all been ag-related.
Right.
Since I've been 19 years old.
Is that mostly in South Dakota, or where are you hauling to?
I've got customers in Missouri and Texas. With a real good customer in Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always building customers, but I've had for the last 40-some years.
Right.
My local customer base.
Right.
Everything I do, 99% of what I do starts or ends within 50 miles of home.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. So I've just always had that customer base. I'd have never done it if I wouldn't have had a customer base.
Right.
I don't see how people can just go buy a truck and say, here I am, now what am I going to do? I had a plan when I started.
Right. Yeah, and that plan has worked out and continued to grow since you had it.
I've tried to make it grow. I used to really work sale barns and everything else there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still around the sale barns, but I don't work them like that anymore. I know all the buyers, known them for years, and
yeah,
you know, I've got third generation customers, and
right,
the fourth generation's there. I'll never live long enough to ever do business with the fourth generation, but
right,
I'm doing business with third generation customers.
That's crazy. Yeah. Well, how did you kind of take your business and grow it to, like, one, be a part of legislature and or, like, be a part of the South Dakota Trucking Association?
I'll attribute that to former Governor Janklow, rest his soul, with some of the idiotic proposals that he tried to cram down our throats, and mm-hmm. that's how I got involved.
Yeah, because since I've known you, you've always been really involved in legislature. I first met you when we were out in D.C., when you guys visited for the call in Washington. And it just kind of, like, has always been there that, wow, Bob is really involved with all of the legislative stuff. So I just wonder where your fascination and stuff came from that.
It really started when former Governor Janklow proposed a 4% sales tax
right.
on in-state transportation on directly affected my business.
Right.
And that's how I kind of got involved. I used to go to the ag conventions and stuff. We used to have two separate organizations. Well, they were one organization, but we had two separate deals. We had the ag side, and
right.
then we had the regular side. And, you know, I can remember years and years, I don't even remember how many years ago, that we tried to combine the two, and
right.
some of the old-time members said, there's no way.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, I'm going to drink
right.
my whiskey and everything else with bull haulers and grain haulers and stuff. So
right.
that's why it stayed separate for as long as it did. But nobody wants to take the time to be involved anymore.
Right.
And I don't know whether it's the younger generation or what. There's so many things coming down on the federal side right now that
yeah.
everybody was upset about the electronic logs and why didn't we do something? We tried to do something. We spent 5 years. I went 5 years over to Washington to try to get in front of it, and it just didn't work. But
right.
there's a lot of scary stuff coming down on the federal side. And if people don't get involved and
yeah.
start making a voice, we're going to have some ugly, ugly things.
Well, I think it's kind of the same phenomenon that goes on when you're in a big city and something bad happens and nobody goes to help. It's like everyone's thinking that somebody else will do something about it, so no one gets involved. I think that that has a lot to do with it. But yeah, I've liked to see younger people getting involved in legislature and legislation and all that kind of stuff. And you just haven't seen all that much of it. So
no. And, you know, you can't cry wolf after the fact.
Right. Well, I think it's a lot of, like, what can we do? We're in South Dakota. Like, why would they listen to us? I think that's a lot of the thought, too. But you got to put your voice out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I realize we're a small state and small population, but we still have representation.
Yeah, well, where does everyone's food come from?
Well, yeah, everything's agriculture-based. I don't
yep.
You know, there's too many people in this country that don't know where their food comes from.
Yeah.
Don't have a clue. But there's also, I think the bigger problem in the world is everybody has too much free time.
Yeah.
When I grew up, we didn't have free time. I mean, when you got done, you were so tired and everything else that all you wanted to do was have something to eat and relax and
right
you know you just there's just too much free time
right and unfortunately the way that we're seeing things go I think it's only going to get more that way.
It's going to get worse because
yeah.
right now they're pushing for a 4-day work week
right
and everything, and they're trying to force that 4-day work week onto the transportation. They're trying to force it into every sector
right.
And the transportation industry has never been a 40-hour week.
No.
And it's never been a 4-day week.
No.
You people need food 24/7. They need medical supplies 24/7. There's just too much stuff the American people require on a 24/7. You got petroleum products, everything.
Right. Because it all comes in some way by truck. And we're seeing even more than that now that the Key Bridge fell down. I'm sure that that's having a big impact on the trucking industry.
It's still, even with the bridge there, even that was touched by a truck because when it was unloaded by the port,
right,
it went on a truck, or some of it might have went on rail, but there's some point in time when you got all these rural areas with no rail service, no nothing, that the only service they have is by truck.
Right.
I live in one of them communities where the only service is truck. So whatever you have in that community, whether it's from a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk, or anything else,
right,
is touched by a truck at some point in its lifetime.
Yeah. Well, my kind of question to you, for people who are listening who may not be involved, like, what is the best way to get involved?
You just got to step up. You know, that's what what I did. Our former executive director or president, however you want to address it there,
right,
when former Governor Jankel tried to propose some things, you know, he was on the phone and we had a presence at the Capitol.
Right.
You know, it wasn't 1,000 people, but we had a presence of 8 or 9 people.
Yeah.
And we had it killed that day, you know.
That makes a difference.
I mean, when you get, and I'm not a big burly guy, but you get 5 or 6 big burly guys standing up and the room goes dark because they block the light out, people tend to notice.
Yeah, right.
And so that's how you get involved. You just got to present yourself out there.
Yeah.
I used to be one of the, when I was in high school and everything else, I used to be one of the most timid guys. I didn't have nothing to say because I was afraid of offending somebody or thinking I was going to get picked on or everything else.
Right.
And, you know, I used to be so self-conscious and everything else, and it comes to the point where you either got to decide you're going to live for yourself.
Yeah.
Or you're in your family, or you're not going to live. You're just going to exist.
Well, I have a question for you then. Like, when did that change happen, or was it slow?
I have no idea when it happened. It just kind of happened over time.
Right.
You know? I never used to. Years ago, you know, I was the last one to ever say hi when you walk into a room or anything else. And,
right.
You know, I didn't speak unless I was spoken to.
Right.
And it's changed, you know.
You just,
I don't know whether that's growing up or what, but.
Yeah. Well, you always have a lot to say, and you have great points, and I think that you've been a really good voice for the South Dakota trucking industry, at least.
Well, I got a lot to say all the time. I don't know whether it's relevant or not, but, you know, I've always got an opinion.
Yes.
And I don't care who you are.
Yep.
You've got an opinion. Mm-hmm. Whether it's agrees with everybody else's opinion, but you still got two sides to every story. So,
right.
If you got an opinion, we need somebody to present, and that is you, to present your opinion.
Yeah.
Whether everybody agrees with it or not is yet to be seen, but somebody has got to present an opinion.
Yeah, somebody's got to be the first one to do it.
Yeah.
I kind of have a question for, like, your business as well. Like, what is, like, your best success, and, like, what is, like, a bad story that, like, you'd be willing to share?
Well, I mean, there's been really tough financial times.
Yeah.
My wife has sacrificed a lot.
Right.
And probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing to the capacity of what I'm doing without her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't like to admit it or whatever, but she's the driving force.
Yep.
She's what makes me get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And my greatest success, my grandkids.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And what are your grandkids doing now?
I've got one granddaughter that lives in Pierre, and she's given me a great grandson, and she works for the state of South Dakota.
Okay.
I've got a grandson that's just moved to Philadelphia, and he is a medical coder, I guess. So, you know, I don't know how to explain it.
Yep.
And I've got another granddaughter in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she's a doctor.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And she was one of the recipients of the Trucking Association scholarships.
Oh, really?
And, you know, the first year she applied, she didn't receive it because she didn't quite fill out the application or whatever. And I encouraged her to apply again.
Right.
And she was awarded a scholarship. And I think that particular year there was 28 or 29 applicants for 5 scholarships.
Right.
It's not a big amount, but I mean, when you're going to school, and especially for a doctor, where you've got 8 years of college, 4 years of regular, and 4 years of grad school, any help you get, it helps. So,
absolutely. Well, that's awesome. I wish the best of luck to all of them, which sounds like they're doing great anyway. So,
well, they are. They're doing good.
Yep. Sweet. Well, what have you like? What have you done when tough financial times come? Like, what is kind of your game plan?
Just stick your nose to the grindstone and keep plowing ahead.
Yep. And where do you kind of see the future of the trucking industry going?
Oh, I'm scared.
Yeah.
It scares me. All the government mandates, there's too many safety advocates, and I'm not saying they're all wrong. We all want to have safety.
Right.
We all want to be safe. Nobody wants to have an accident where somebody gets hurt or somebody has a fatality.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. Well, what I've seen with
you can't legislate and you can't stop stupid.
No.
Nothing's going to change. So you're always going to have accidents. Some accidents are going to be worse than others, and some accidents are going to be really bad.
Right.
But you're never, I don't care how much legislation, unless you take everybody off the road, where
right.
there's not a single vehicle on the road, you're always going to have accidents because you can't fix stupid.
Well, a lot of accidents are single car accidents or yes. single truck accidents. So even if there's nobody on the road, there's still going to be issues. But it's really hard in that way. And there's what I've seen a lot with the safety advocate side of it is with a lot of legislation they're pushing, it almost seems like they're anti-truck.
That feels that way.
Yeah.
And right now there's some things that are trying to come down to the pipe that just, it feels like they're trying to make the truck driver a robot.
Right.
And I'm glad as I'm old as I am. I'm 67 years old.
Yeah.
Still contemplating retirement. If it comes to the point where they try to turn me into a robot,
right.
I will retire.
Yeah.
And I feel I have some things to contribute yet or whatever, but I mean, I'm just not going to be put in a corner where I'm going to be a robot. I just ain't going to do it.
Right.
When they take that control away from me, and I try to be one of the safest guys out there. I haven't had an insurance claim in 12 years.
Right.
Of any kind.
Yeah.
I feel I'm probably one of the safest guys out there, and sometimes it's really aggravating dealing with the motor in public, and you mutter under your breath and you know, everything else, and you cuss the idiot that's passing in a no-passing zone and everything else.
Yep.
To save 2 seconds, it don't make any sense, and that's the reason you're never going to stop accidents.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, just the general public. And a lot of, I think they're trying to put a lot of, they are trying to put a bunch more technology into trucks to make it more like the driver does less, I think. Do you still drive a manual truck or is your truck automatic?
No, it's manual.
Nice. Because I've heard nowadays you almost have to like special order to get a manual truck.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Yeah.
That's because nobody knows how to drive a truck. I grew up driving trucks.
Right.
I mean, yeah, some maybe they were only four speeds or whatever, but we had trucks on the farm.
Right.
I've been driving manual transmission since I was 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I was driving tractors when I was 11 or 12 out in the field all by myself.
Right.
You know, sure, my dad went out and got me started, but, you know, then he went and did something else and I was on my own.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there wasn't some scary deals. There's been some scary deals that I've been very fortunate. The good Lord has looked out for me.
Yeah.
That I've come away with not having an accident.
Right.
I've had one accident, and that was weather-related. It's still my fault.
Yep.
I should have known better to be out there in that type of weather.
Yep.
But I was, and so, yes, we had an accident.
Yep.
But as far as me and another vehicle in 47, 48 years, whatever it's been, 44, however you want to classify it,
yeah,
I've never actually had a major accident.
Right. And is there any legislation or lack of legislation you think that would help make it, like, better for, like, truck drivers?
No.
Yeah.
The only thing is educating the American people.
Yep.
Of what it's like to play in that. And 2 seconds isn't worth your life.
No.
You know.
Right.
That's a pretty steep price to pay.
No kidding.
For 2 seconds.
Yep.
And that's what a lot of that amounts to, you know.
Right. When you talk about, like, driving down the interstate and stuff, like, what is your view on speed limiters?
I'm not in favor of it.
Right.
I don't speed. I haven't had a speeding ticket since 1995.
Right.
I don't speed. But that's my choice.
Yep.
And I try, you know, if we get in metro areas, which I try to avoid with a passion anymore because the fact is I'm getting older and I don't want to deal with it.
Yep.
So I pick and choose a lot of some of what I do just for the fact I don't want to do some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Because I just don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with the headaches.
Right.
You know, most of my stuff is within a 150-mile radius of home. I'm home most nights, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And, you know, I'm not saying I left Wednesday morning, and this is Thursday afternoon, and I'll be gone yet tonight.
Yep.
Just for the fact I'm, you know, swing through and getting some work done on a truck that's been put off and everything else there that...
Right.
Just getting some stuff done, and, you know, I'm going to unload 20 miles from home, and so I won't be going home tonight and then going because it's 20 miles down there and 20 miles back, so that's 40 miles, so
right.
Therefore, I'll sleep in the truck.
Yep. Well, yeah, that's awesome. What would you tell kind of a younger person who's starting out their trucking company? What would you tell them about their company and what they should do?
You need to have a customer base before you ever start. You've got to have your own customers.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, some of them customers will leave you and you will pick up new ones. But
right.
You've got to have a customer base.
Okay.
You can't just go buy a truck and just say, here I am.
And then try to figure it out. You have to have it kind of a little figured out before you buy the truck.
I'd already talked to customers, and I was thinking about doing it, but I had one guy that was buying a lot of cattle that I was doing some stuff for, and he called me one summer, and he says, I'll buy you a new trailer to pull if you buy a truck. And I talked to my wife. She wasn't in favor of it at all,
yeah.
But I kind of overruled her, and I decided this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yep.
I the people I was working for, I'd been there so long that
right.
I went out there and give them the same option. And I says, you sell me the truck, you own the trailers, life will go on as it's been going on.
Right.
Only I'll own the truck. And they didn't want to do it. And so I says, okay, well, my 2 weeks notice is now. I'm done as such
doing
as
this,
such
guys.
A date.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm going to do.
So yep. And then?
That was in 1980. Or no, wow. that was in 93. Excuse me. 1980, I went to work for them guys. So.
Yep. So then 93, you're like, all right, it's time to start my own thing. So.
Well, but I awesome. Had a customer base.
Yeah.
Before I decided I was going to buy a truck,
uh-huh.
you know, I had a customer base.
Yep.
I made sure of that.
Yeah.
So I knew, you know, and I had you got to have a financial plan too there. I'd sat down and, you know, I'd kind of knew the trucking industry because I'd been involved so long.
Right.
So, you know, I knew about what parts was going to cost me. And before I'd ever went and bought the truck, I was on the phone. What's insurance going to cost me? I knew what fuel was costing,
uh-huh.
you know, and I knew what tires were costing. So, you know, I kind of had, well, this is going to cost me to run it. And this is, I knew where the rates were at, you know, and everything else there. And so you just got to have a financial plan. You know, I had it on paper. And it didn't right. all come to true, but, you know, I had some friends that were in industry, and so I went and showed them, well, this is kind of what I got, this is what it's going to cost me to run it, what mm-hmm. do you think? Yeah, that's pretty close, you know, and they were already had their own trucks and stuff.
Right.
And, you know, after, you know, we started out, well, that was back when we had authority yet. In fact, I still got the number on my truck there that you didn't haul anything within the borders of South Dakota without a B permit. You just didn't do it.
Right.
I mean, it was not a good deal. And I mean, people were upset about it because people paid thousands of dollars for them B permits.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1995, they just kind of did away with them and they weren't worth the paper they were wrote on.
Really?
And
what was that? What
that was deregulation.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you had to have, guys had B permits and C permits. C permits were contract hauls.
Okay.
And, you know, like you load cement in the cement plant and go to Gettysburg. You know, you loaded in Rapid and went to Gettysburg. And that was a contract. If you had a contract.
Right.
Then you had a C permit, plus probably had a B permit too to all, you know, from farm into the sale barn or from the farm into the elevator or everything else. And if you didn't have a B permit, I mean, you got turned in and your competitors in that town were not a happy camper with you.
Really? And
so yeah, I still put that B permit number on my truck.
Really? Okay.
Yep. You could go out of state without the B permit with your bingo stamps and everything else, but that's one thing that deregulation, and that was a bad thing, the deregulation, right? That enabled too many people without a plan just to go buy a truck. And so here I am, now what am I going to do?
Yep.
And so 99% of them people failed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they all failed, but 99% of them failed.
Yep. So having those permits was better?
I think so.
Okay. Because it added another step to starting your business, right?
Well, yeah. That was one thing you had to have.
Yep.
And then, you know, then you still had the B permit. Then you had to have ICC authority to haul some of that.
Yep.
And, of course, then, you know, the started in the fall when cattle deal was just busy, busy. You might run just as hard as you could run plus some.
Yep.
And then in the summertime, well, then decided he was going to haul some grain or whatever to fill in the slack. And, well, it started out we were hauling grain to Minneapolis and hauling fertilizer back.
Uh-huh.
Well, fertilizer is a regulated commodity, so you had to have ICC authority.
Gotcha.
So I applied right away, got emergency authority, so I could, it took probably 10 days to get this emergency authority.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise it might have took 60 days or 90 days to get it.
Right.
But you had to prove a use.
Gotcha.
And to get a B permit, you had to have customers that would go to the PUC and say, yes, we want to use this guy, but he don't have a B permit. He needs a B permit. And you had to go with the list. You had to prove your case to the PUC.
That you deserved one.
B permit.
Well, that's, yeah, that seems like a good idea.
I got somebody else's and had to pay for it. I mean, it wasn't just handed a B permit. Yeah, I had to find one to get.
Yeah.
And it had to be within your area.
Did they only give out so many B permits or what?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You had to prove a use for a B permit. And it was good within a 20-mile radius of your where your permit was issued from.
Right.
Like, see, my permit was issued from Lebanon, which is 9 miles.
Gotcha.
So I had a 20-mile radius that either had to start or end in that 20-mile radius.
Wow. Because they're trying to keep, I assume because they're trying to keep all the local goods and services in the local
And they
companies.
Were, you know, it was something that was put, I don't know when it was put in place.
Yeah.
But for competition, to keep competition out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, awesome. Well, thank
still,
you.
You still got a lot of money invested in things, but you had money invested and you had a business, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob, for coming on the podcast today. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And make sure to go down and follow our podcast below and be watching for new podcast episodes that are uploaded. And it is everywhere that you find your podcasts. So thank you.
Thanks.